But we really want to be intentional around being a family of wholehearted people. And we've been looking at different facets of that over this term, and you can listen to some of the messages in the past. But one of the curious things that families all have their culture. I know our family has some very funny traditions, and if you came to a meal, you would probably think, anyway. My mother's maiden name's Adam, so, and I'm only one letter away from being Uncle Fester, so I thought that might be appropriate. But anyway, our family has some values that shape who we are, and what we really want to do is to be able to help, particularly as new people come into the church, be able to fast track their understanding of what we're about and why things happen the way that they do here. And so what we're looking to do is to, this week and next week, is just to talk through our cultural values. They're a kind of family values, and they're not ones that we've kind of just made up. They're really kingdom cultural values. So they're things that Jesus taught and lived out and encouraged people to live in. And so this week, we're just going to go through, fortunately, someone suggested maybe not have a crack at all of them today. So we're going to whip through these first cultural values. And what I've asked Brian and Chris and Laura to do is we've got some verses that are kind of key to help get an understanding of what we mean by these cultural values, but to kind of share what does that mean for us, and for someone else to talk about how do we see that outworked here at church, just to kind of put legs on it. And we also, with each one, we want to pray. We want people to this to be not just something that we aspire to, but something that we grow in, and just to be praying that God makes richer and deeper and more brilliant in the life of the church. So, Chris has our first one, which is grace and empowerment.
I think grace is one of those words that you hear a lot about. And growing up, from my understanding, it was always God's riches at Christ's expense, that sense of that something undeserved, and it's true, grace is undeserved. And particularly we see things like that verse in Ephesians where Paul was talking about the salvation that God gives us. Grace, it's by grace that we've been saved. It is not anything to do with our deserving it or earning it or being good enough for it. And Paul, of all people, knew that. He was busy persecuting the church of God when God met him with that grace. And so that first aspect of grace that we may be familiar with is that it's the free gift of God to bring salvation into our lives. It's not about a religious activity. It's not about earning. It's not about trying to get God to like us because we've ticked enough boxes or we've obeyed enough rules. It's the opposite of religion. Grace is just the opposite of religion. Religion tells us we've got to be good enough. We've got to do more, try harder. Religious people are often very unpleasant. They're often very judgmental because they're feeling better than other people or pointing the finger at other people. Receiving the grace of God and having that aha moment, it's not about us. It's all about what Jesus has finished on the cross. That is that grace for salvation. And the other aspect of grace that kind of we've, as a church, have come into, I suppose, over many years, is that grace is not just God's undeserved favour, but it is also his empowering presence. It is, Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth. Now, Jesus didn't have God's undeserving, favour because he deserved it. But Jesus did have God's empowering presence through the Holy Spirit. And so that second aspect of grace has been so profound for me and for many in our church, I believe, because grace is the ability to do what you can't do because the Holy Spirit is at work in us. And so, that verse was my go-to verse for everything I couldn't face everything I couldn't do, from getting out of bed to doing a funeral to, preaching a message that didn't come together to having a hard conversation. There was grace for all of that because the scripture says that God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. And God has prepared good work for every single one of us to do, to be involved in. And it's too hard for us. We can't do it. You can't forgive that person. You can't love that difficult person. I can't. But there is grace. And grace is God's empowering presence through the Holy Spirit to do what we can't do.
Wow. Amazing. Amen and hallelujah and all of that. Look, if any of you here have been in a religious context, you know the difference when you walk into this place. Amen? Like, you know that there is grace. There's grace to try to do things that we can't do on our own strength. There's grace to get it wrong, and that's okay. There's grace to get it messy. There's grace to be authentic. And that's the culture that's in this house, and I'm so grateful for it. And I think that piece that Chris is talking about, that empowerment of the Holy Spirit, not only is it okay to be a mess, to make mistakes, or to get it right, we've still got that empowerment from the Holy Spirit. It's not withheld from us just because we get it wrong. Once again, it's not about us, it's about Him. And I think just trying is the thing, isn't it? Having a go, and that's what I've experienced here. I've felt freedom against the restraints of religion, and so I've been able to move into the areas that God has for me without judgment, sometimes with correction, and that's okay too, empowerment. So thank you, Chris, and we thank you, Jesus. We thank you that this is a place where we can experience your grace and your empowerment. We thank you that you have gone to so much trouble to give us this freedom in you. We thank you so much for your Son, that when you look at us, you see Him, that we don't have to be perfect because He is. And we thank you for this place that moves in that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
The next cultural values we want to look at is humility and honour. So I'll get Brian just to share what we appreciate about humility and honour, and then Chris to talk about what it looks like around here and to pray into those things.
Why humility and honour? Does anyone remember that old song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way"? Well, unfortunately, that's I believe it was about Lucifer, the angel, the most beautiful angel ever created, and he was full of pride. He got kicked out of hell out of heaven because of pride. And like I've taught you before, pride never listens. Pride always just knows. It never listens to correction or to help or anything. See, Jesus can't partner with pride. He can only partner with humility. And that's why the scripture teaches us to be humble, to humble ourselves. And God's the God of honour. I've never known God to dishonour. When the Lord shows me a female in the spirit realm to pray for, He only ever shows me their eyes and their face. God never dishonours, never. When I had to stand in front of God the Father over the prophet, the only promise I had to make to Him that I would never dishonour Helen and my family. And He made it very clear, after Him comes Helen and my family. And if it's not in that order, and I don't know whether you believe this, but I was sitting in my office one Wednesday afternoon and the Lord walked into my office. I could see Him in the spirit, and He told me to pack my bags and go home. And I said, "What for?" He said, "Because if you don't go now, you'll dishonour Helen on your date day tomorrow." So God actually held me accountable for that promise, and He does. He never dishonours. I've having a very clear vision with Jesus on His white stallion with His sword one day. And He looked me in the eyes and He told me, He said, "Brian, I can never partner with pride." So it's so important that we humble ourselves. And it's like, I always think of young Zach. Zach's the man he is today because he humbled himself. He was a very humble young man. And that's why he's such a brilliant young man. So anyway, I think that'll do me.
Thanks, Brian. As far as that what that looks like at Overflow, I think what I hope it looks like is that listening, you know, that willingness to listen. And it comes from the leadership. When we're asking God, what are you saying? What do you want us to focus on? Where are you leading us? There's that sense of, from leadership right through the congregation, we want to hear from God. We don't want to make our plans and ask God to bless us. We actually want to say, God, what are you doing? Where's your heart? What's on your heart? You know, whether it's for a vision, whether it's for a message, whether it's for how we are listening for a word of encouragement for somebody else. It's we want to create a place where we humble ourselves and listen to God, and where we're obedient to God. I mean, part of honour is that obedience. Sometimes God asks us to do things that we might not choose to do. Jesus came to that place of, well, he always honoured his Father, but that supreme honour to say, not my will, but yours be done. You know, when you humble yourself and you're willing to do what you don't want to do, whether it's be humble and gentle and make allowance for somebody else's faults, to forgive, to say yes to someone, you know, to honour leadership. I mean, everyone can honour a leader they agree with. It's the challenge is, how do we honour a leader we don't agree with? How do we have a healthy, loving conversation that we might need to have instead of a whinge in the car park? Yeah, it's those sort of things. What does honour look like? I hope it looks like that we do relationships well, and that we put the needs of others above our own, and we choose to serve, and we think, what if it's not about me? So, you know, that's the invitation. But it is, I'm really glad we started with grace and empowerment, because it's only the Holy Spirit who lets us realise it's not about me. Father, we're so grateful for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we're asking even today that you would fill our hearts with true humility and true honour for you, for each other, that we would choose relationships, that we would humble ourselves, that we would choose forgiveness, that we would choose service, that you would fill us with the Spirit of Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient even to death on a cross. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to take us on the journey of saying yes to humility and yes to honour. Amen.
Amen. I'm just loving the way the Holy Spirit prompted the outfit choices this morning. Just sure a lot of...
No coordination.
The third area looking at is family and unity. So I'll get Laura to talk about what does that mean for us, family and unity, and then Brian to talk about how he's enjoyed and experienced that here and to pray into that.
Family. So we are in the family of God. We have his spiritual DNA. Jesus is the firstborn son, and we are his brothers and sisters. Amen. So we have that spiritual DNA. We are family. Spiritually, we are family. And I really like that analogy, because it kind of infers a little bit more than just community or friends, because it kind of infers we're a bit stuck with each other. You know, like we have a commitment that goes beyond just, you know, being in relationship. We're actually a family all together, and everyone knows everyone else. So there's that kind of extra layer of commitment and accountability there. So family is a fitting value for us to have as followers of Christ, but sometimes it's not a healthy thing, is it? Family relationships aren't always healthy. But for us, the vision that we have for family includes these things. So celebrating each other's joys, That's a value that we have here as family and community. Sharing each other's sorrows. And I just wanted to share a sorrow that's happened in our church this week with the passing of John Padmos, who was part of this congregation in days gone by. And, we just share your sorrow, Trina and Amelia, and your family at his passing. I have this picture of John. He was a very generous man, and he took our family on an outing one day on Port Stephens on his amazing boat, him and Polly. So it was just really lovely. But he was amazing. He knew every spot of this beautiful port. He knew where to go to swim, what to look for when we got there. I just saw him in his natural habitat. And when I think of him now, I just imagine that he's in a place even more beautiful than Port Stephens, cruising around on his boat, having a great time, enjoying all the wonders. But yeah, just such an amazing guy to know that port like the back of his hand. Supporting each other spiritually, financially. I hope that pretty much everyone in this room has had that experience of just a lot of love and support from each other as family. Encouragement and calling out the best in one another is another value that we have here. Lifting each other up. Being kind instead of just being right. So that's the main thing. We want to be kind with each other, not just be right. That doesn't mean we can't speak in love to each other about things that aren't right, but it does mean that kindness is above being right. Always believing the best of each other and turning away from gossip and slander. I think that that's really important, that we protect each other as part of this family. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So unity in families isn't always there, as I said, but in this house, it's a family stamp. It's a thing that is very obvious in this place. It's a heritage that we've received from the people who've gone before us, and people have sacrificed to maintain unity in this place. And it's in the place of unity that God arrives. And it's good for us. So it's good for us because we need to join together with other believers and grow in our faith. We're community creatures, aren't we? We need community. And it also, like, data shows that we're happier than people who don't join together in community and worship. And it's within that that the Holy Spirit arrives. And I ask God why unity amongst us was what he, what benefited him in that unity. And he said that when we're in unity, it's like we can be a weapon in his hand. When we are like of one mind in the Holy Spirit, he can use us to bring restoration and flow his glory out of this place. And yeah, I was just so encouraged by that. And here's just a psalm to end it off with, Psalm 145. We shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to others his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Amen?
Amen. Thanks, Laura. God is family, and God is love. A few years ago now, the Lord asked me what Chris and I call in what he called the revival of love. So Chris and I came early one Sunday morning, and that's what we called in. And I'm amazed the amount of new people come in and they say, as soon as I walked through the door, I felt love. So that's, thank you, Lord, for that. And the Holy Spirit works within unity. One of my roles is to protect the unity of this church and its leaders. And look, I don't know how many fights I've had in the spirit realm protect the unity in this church. And it's so important because that's when the Spirit works. And it's like our churches around us. They come here and we pray once a month with the church, the pastors from other churches. And that's so important that we're in unity with the churches around us and near us. It's so important. So the Spirit can work in Madawi. Look, I often believe that the Kingdom family know you better than your physical family do, because they actually understand you. That doesn't mean, like my mum and dad when they were alive, they had no idea who I was, but they loved me. But it wasn't in their growing up about a prophet or anything like that, or the prophetic, although mum was very prophetic. And it's like, it is so important, as Laura said, we actually speak life into one another. And that's one thing I love about the prophetic. It actually brings life. And if it doesn't bring life, believe you me, it's not from the Lord. That's from the demonic realm. Yeah, so it's very important. anyway, I'll just pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this family. Lord, and I want to thank you for the unity that you have placed in this church and in these leaders, Lord. Lord, you are good. You are always good. And you have good things for your family, Lord. And Lord, we pray a blessing over each and every person here and each and every family, Lord. And Lord, we look forward to what you're doing now in this family and the years to come, Lord. We release you, Holy Spirit, to convict us if we need convicting. Lord and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the way that you speak into us. Because, Jesus, this is your church, not our church, and we want to work with you, partner with you to do whatever you have for Overflow Church, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We have one more set of values we're going to look at in a second, but I just wanted to prompt you. We'll finish the service soon after that. And I just, speaking of the family and unity piece, I think the one thing that I've just really sensed has just helped to maintain and grow the health of the church in this season is us praying for each other. So can I invite you, after this talking about this last set of values, that we can demonstrate family and unity by just gathering with one or two other people around you, preferably someone who's that you don't live with. I mean, they can be include them, but include somebody else who's not from your household. And pray for our church family. Pray for our churches, our wider church family. So to that end, can I just invite you just to pause for 30 seconds and just ask what's on the Father's heart that he would want you to be praying for? Okay, our last ones we're going to look at this morning is kingdom and supernatural. So I'll get Chris to share on this and Laura just to talk about how she's enjoyed that and to pray into that. Thanks.
Thanks for tracking with us for those four. That's great. And yeah, the other thing just briefly for mine around family is we get, you know, we get to forgive each other and we get to get all of our messy stuff comes to the surface in family, doesn't it? I've got a memory of having a hair-pulling fight with my sister over a television show. And, you know, all the ugly stuff comes up in family. And God uses that, if we're humble, to deal with us, because otherwise we wouldn't even know it was there. But, boy, it comes out in family, so... isn't that kind of God to let us know that it's there? Yeah, sort of. last one, kingdom supernatural. This is like you could spend weeks on this. So just very briefly, I suppose there was a major shift for me and for us as a church as we started to think, I think my growing up was about becoming a Christian, trusting in Jesus and going to heaven when I died. That was the gospel for me. You know, the gospel of the kingdom is much different to that. The gospel that Jesus spoke is the gospel of the kingdom. It is Jesus bringing heaven to earth through us, through him and through us as his agents by the Holy Spirit. It is a very, very different gospel. It includes the gospel of salvation, but it is, God is in the business of transforming our lives and transforming this world under his kingship, because the kingdom has a king and Jesus is the rightful king. He was crowned on the cross. That was his ascension into kingship. And it didn't look like a coronation, but it was in the spirit. And King Jesus has the right to rule in every life, and he has the right to rule across our community. And everywhere he's given that right, his kingdom come and the Father's will is done. And so our heart is to see the life and the kingship of Jesus worked out in our life and worked out beyond our life into our community. Because the kingdom of God is love and joy and peace and patience. The kingdom of God is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Who wouldn't want those things? Who wouldn't want those things in our lives and in the life of our community? So the kingdom of God is, and the message of the kingdom is word and its sign and its deed. The kingdom of God is like Jesus came and he brought his kingdom with him. And so he healed the sick. He loved the outcast. He welcomed sinners. That is the beautiful news of the kingdom. And when we pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will, Father, be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Paul, when he was preaching and explaining what he'd done with the gospel, he said, I've actually preached the full gospel, and it included miraculous signs and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we believe that as carriers of the kingdom, we are invited to carry the supernatural power of God, the goodness of God, the prophetic words of God, the words of encouragement. Does it always happen? No, but we're invited to carry that and to grow in that, because Jesus said the things that he did, we also would do, and even greater things than those we would do, John 14:12. So that's our invitation, and that's where we're asking God to take us as a church.
So I'm a geographer, and when I came here, I asked God to show me the spiritual geography of this place, and he showed me wells initially. Like, there are wells here, wells that have been dug by faithful servants of the Lord in this place, wells that are there for our benefit, for the benefit of this community and flowing outwards from there. It's wells of living water. I always ask God, you know, can you give me a name for each well? He never gives me a name. It's always different. It's always what people need when they draw from that well. And like, that's where our water metaphor comes from, for overflow and everything. These wells are so well established, and it's up to us as the current stewards of these wells to keep them fresh and free flowing, to not let the silt build up on top of them, to use them as God intended, to bring the living water to our community and and the Hunter region generally. Sorry, it's just I get emotional because it's so powerful that we have these things here. This is a heritage that we have that we can use. And it just encouraged me so much. I mean, I've been here a long time now, but we have a prophet. You know, how many churches do you know that have a prophet that is like paid to be here and encourage us? You know, that's incredible. That puts such high value on the things of the supernatural. Just two more things that I always see in the spirit in this place is a veil. I see a veil quite often when we're worshipping come really, really low. And I believe it's like that membrane between heaven and earth. And I see that all the time. The other thing that I see is the trail of the glory of God. I see him sitting above us on a throne, and I see his cloak, his majestic cloak trailing over us. Yeah, so anyway, we have an incredible heritage of the supernatural here, and I always love it when it's a muscle that we're flexed. So, yeah, fun times. Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you that this is a place where your living water is. We thank you that we are water bearers to each other, to the wider kingdom. I can just see the living water just flowing out from this place. Everyone, we don't need an imagination at the moment to see water, Lord. But we see these rivers just flowing out, and little ones. And I just see you, our community here, our church, just getting that water and taking it even further out into those dry places and just bringing people gently, gently back to your living water. Lord, we just pray that we will be faithful to do what you need us to do to bring that living water to those around us, Father. We just thank you for your provision of this place. We just thank you for the heritage of this place. We just thank you for the faithful servants that tend those wells. And Yeah, you're just so good and so faithful, Lord. And we just expect with you amazing things to happen in this place. We just ask, Lord, for your miracles. We ask for healing. We ask, Lord, that words of knowledge and prophecy would just become commonplace here, even more so, Lord, for I know it's already happening, but Father, we just want more. We just want more of your kingdom in this place. We want more of your supernatural power to work through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And that supernatural power is released through prayer. So if you want to pray by yourself, that's fine. Just close your eyes and just pray for our church family. But if you can connect in threes, fours or fives, and just finish our time this morning just praying for what God prompted for you. And, yeah, just pray. It's an extraordinary week for you all in Jesus' name. Thanks for being here.